active and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, of the joints and the marrow, and is a critic of thoughts and intents of the heart. All Scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Study to show yourselves approved unto God, a workman that does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. All right, we're in Revelation 18, and we are working on verse 20 still. It's been a while. We'll warm it back up for you. All right, let's take the customary time to recognize that even if you're a positive believer and make a claim to positive volition, you have a handicap. We all do. We always will have it in this life. And that's your sin nature. Being out of fellowship and taking in doctrine are incompatible. Oil and water don't mix. So, it's your responsibility to get in fellowship, be filled with the Spirit. It's very simple. Generic rebound works. You don't have to name a specific one if you don't want to. It's in the model prayer, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, once again, we assemble ourselves together so that we can stay on track spiritually in these momentous times, these very last days that we find ourselves. Be with us in our study. Help us to understand and appreciate the magnitude of the subject at hand. In Christ's name, amen. All right, this whole chapter, of course, is devoted to the doctrine of political or economic, whatever you want to call it, Babylon, a country that came into existence late in the church age, a country that did not have an existence when it was prophesied. This is an end-time nation that is currently celebrating 250 years of human history since its declaration of independence. So, this nation has developed into this entity that we find in Revelation 18 and elsewhere. There is no other entity on earth. I challenge you. There is no other entity on earth that matches this. It's the United States. As sad as that might make some people, God has all the facts of our history, all of our crimes, from the individual on up the ladder through our history, and we have built up this Tower of Babel all the way to heaven, and when it reaches a certain point in the history, God will bring the judgment on the United States. Now, I know there are people who still don't like this doctrine. I mean, they don't embrace it. You will one day. You will embrace it openly. Hopefully you embrace it today. No, I'm not happy that the United States has turned out in this way. But it has. When you add up all of the crimes, sins, both domestically and otherwise, it adds up to an entity that will be brought down by God, as we have seen, in 1 hour of one day. That's only possible two ways. God does it directly out of heaven, which isn't the way it's going to happen. Or he uses another entity to bring the wrath. He has done that in human history. He uses evil to judge evil. As we see on the previous chapter, he is going to use the Antichrist and his machine to take out the Catholic Church in Europe. Plunder it. And take it down. Not just invite it to quit. I mean attack it. Plunder it. As in ancient times. and destroy it, because him and the Lord, that's right, have a common purpose for different reasons. And that is to take this entity out and bring it into judgment for all of its evil through all the centuries that it has been in place. I've gone over the details many, many times with regard to the United States and prophecy. I have described it as a nation that is different from other nations in that it is a nation that is built on immigration. You cannot name another nation where all the other nations have come to it and taken up residence. You just can't. It started with the Europeans and has continued to the present day with people from the four corners of the earth. Whole communities devoted to one racial type, the melting pot. No other nation, and certainly none that is an economic powerhouse, matches that. Anywhere, anytime, any place. So it is a nation that dwells in the midst of the waters, a verse on that, and we do, fits the geography. It is a nation of incredible commerce, productivity, and material things. It is a nation that is unprecedented in the importing of things from around the world. All you got to do is go into some stores and see, made in. There's nothing wrong with that. It's just that this is a sign of this entity. No other nation compares to this. It is a nation that is politically and economically entangled with the affairs of other nations through a variety of means, when we should have just tended to basically to our own business. Early presidents said we ought to stay out of other people's affairs, tend to our own business. If we're attacked, then we'll deal with it. But otherwise, no expansion as we have done through the various periods of our history. At least starting with the Spanish-American War under Teddy Roosevelt. That contrived event. So we could expand our commerce into Latin America for food products, bananas, and other things. That's what we did, and it's what we've continued to do. So that when this country goes down, the merchants of the earth and the rulers of the earth will be in complete disarray. Not because some of deep love for America, but because it's their cash cow. And it's gone. It is gone with a snap of a finger. In 1 hour of one day, only modern technology could accomplish this. Now, God could do it independent of anything, as in Sodom and Gomorrah. In fact, there's a comparison of the United States and Sodom and Gomorrah in the destruction and the fat and the speed of it and the fire and all the rest of it. Now, the final angelic announcement on the judgment of Babylon began in verse 21. As we noted in our previous study, first let me back up to verse 20. I want to go to verse 20. Rejoice over her, O heaven. That's a locale. Turns out, heaven is real estate, the third heaven, right above us, a few thousand miles straight up from what we call the Arctic Circle. You go straight up from there, and you would hit the throne of God in a few thousand miles. I don't know the exact distance. I'm not pretending to. But it sure as heck isn't the distance that we have been told, millions of light years. The earth is God's footstool. Now, a footstool, if I have a thing I put my feet on up here, but it's not technically a footstool. But anyway, let's pretend. If it was a footstool, I couldn't say, this is my footstool, and have it in Louisiana. It's the footstool is an immediate locale to the thing that you're describing. So there are three heavens. The third heaven is called the third heaven in your Bible. The third heaven. That means there's a first and a second. And the first one is everything from the surface of the ground up to the second heaven, which is a dome. Translate in your Bible as firmament. It is solid. It is crystalline. It is some kind of material, as in a fishbowl that's upside down. And this covers it. That's the second heaven. It's through those floodgates that the waters came in Noah's flood. It hadn't rained a drop before then. And this stuff just poured down out from the second heaven down through on earth. Rejoice over her, O heaven. And you saints, that's believers in general, from all dispensations. And apostles, the 12. The 12 apostles. They weren't a part directly of American history, but they're rejoicing over God bringing his word to pass and his judgment and fulfilling his word. As God knows the end from the beginning, nothing surprises him. And prophets, what they wrote down, the first one to make any reference to America in any prophecy, and all the other prophets, notable ones, two notable ones are Jeremiah and Isaiah. They have Jeremiah in particular has extensive devotion verse wise in these big chapters called 50 and 51 under the code name Babylon. It had to be given a code name. So it's given a code name, Babylon, as I've tried to bring out to you. And the reason you are to rejoice, and this is an enthusiastic celebration like you'd see at some event, because God has pronounced judgment for you on your behalf against her. Now, as we saw last time, then a strong angel. Now, all this is going on. I've looked at it again and again. All this is going on very soon after the rapture. It has to be not right on the threshold of the destruction of the United States, but right after the rapture, so that everybody gets a heads up. So any decisions by people on the ground they need to make, they can make them. And this will be like, you know, some announcement in some place where loudspeakers or some media is saying something to the human race. God will speak directly from heaven. He's done that on occasion. He did it at Sinai. The Jews are assembled at the base of the mountain. He spoke from the mountain, the Ten Commandments. He did it at Jesus' baptism. It was brief, but he spoke. And so here, this is extended. This is an extended speech that will be captured and heard by everybody in every language, and certainly by all Americans. Everybody will have a heads up. Americans will be told to get out of here and go back to the home of your ancestors, if at all possible. That'll be highly inconvenient for some people due to health conditions, age, and other factors. But God will make a way, and always does, for a believer who is devoted to doing His directive will. God will make it possible, in their case, to relocate. God will set up all everything. And you pack your bag and go. Because you want to be in the directive will of God. You want to be doing what He wants you to do, even in the worst time in human history, the Great Tribulation. Then a strong angel took up a stone, similar to a great millstone, and threw it into the ocean. And I figured out back in my study what this... So if it's a millstone, it has to be round. They didn't have square ones. They had round ones. This is a prepared stone. It was used to have an oxen pull it in a circle and grind wheat. That's the way they processed it in the ancient world. So it's like a great millstone. And he picks this thing up. And it's visible to everybody. News media can get out there with their cameras and look at it all they want to. He will lift it up. And my conclusion was, it's the base on which the Statue of Liberty, which is a symbol of immigration. It is the symbol. He will pick it up and He will throw it. By the way, we saw in our Bible class that this thing weighs many, many, many tons. It's made of granite. I gave you some background and history on the placement of it, the origin of the statue that stands on it. It isn't mentioned here in the Bible. It isn't dignified. The woman with the torch facing east, a symbol, a unique symbol of the America, welcoming, back in the day, the downtrodden, the persecuted, the suffering, who coming from the nation, wanting to find a new life and new opportunity there at Ellis Island. It's a tourist stop. We went around it on a barge-like thing one Sunday after church, the doctrinal church on Long Island. We went there. The guy in the church who drove a school bus for elite schools. And he got a school bus, and we all piled on it, and we went downtown Manhattan on a Sunday when it wasn't crazy crowded. And went out there and got on that, and a guy was out there giving a speech, a teaching deal about the island, the statue, and the rest of it. It is that thing is displayed as a symbol all over the place. So he will take up this millstone with the statue still on it and throw it into the deepest trench in the Atlantic Ocean, never to be recovered again, as a symbol that there will be no future United States or anything like it on this landmass. This landmass will not be occupied for the 1,000 years and to the end of human history. No one will be. See, that adds to the judgment and the stigma. Nobody can come back in here. out of curiosity, do exploration. In the ancient world, when a kingdom was overthrown and there was rubble, people would go in there and look for goodies. They would even take pillars and things already built and transport them elsewhere. Nothing will be taken. The ruins will just sit here. The plant life will overgrow, and the animal kingdom will just absolutely flourish and live in these homes and these buildings and all of it. And nobody during the 1,000 years will be permitted to enter this landmass. That's how serious God has taken the crimes of this country, because we get double, this country gets double discipline. To whom much is given, keep that, file that away in your thinking. To whom much is given, spiritually speaking and otherwise, much is required. You don't just take in doctrine and then don't do anything. You make sacrifices. You commit yourself to following the truth and being in the viewpoint, operational, and geographical will of God. And who's my favorite example in the Bible of that? Abraham. He is the spiritual godfather of us all. What did he do? He packed his bags, got a new occupation, herding cattle, and moved out of a real comfortable environment, Ur of the Chaldees, and moved out by faith, and eventually was a nomad in the land of promise during the balance of his life. So he's our example. We walk by faith, not by sight. We are tied to God and His directive will as we learn it in the Bible. Now, God gives everybody time to make any adjustments they need to make. You're out there listening, you need to listen. Because we got all this confusion in the Christian world that's just incredible. You can just bounce around from one church to another, or not even go to a church. Just sit home and watch dummies on TV or online. And if you don't like this one, you can flip over to this one. Or you can have multiple teachers and fulfill a verse in the Bible that says in the last days they will heap to themselves teachers having ears that need to be tickled, scratched. Oh, I like him. Oh, I like her. Oh, blah, 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 blah. And the whole doctrine of right pastor, right congregation is just thrown in the dirt. Is it not? Well, I've been over that one too. I'm not culpable because I've taught it. I've made it clear as a crystal. You get with your right pastor and your right church and line up with the plan of God. If it takes time, it takes time. As a young married person, I made my decision. And we took off in a U-Haul from Conway, Arkansas, and wound up in Houston, Texas, where I sat under a pastor teacher and waited on the Lord to open a door so I could find my right congregation. I didn't have any preferences of where I wanted to live. I want to be in the tropics. I want to be in the mountains. I want to be in the blah, blah, blah. No. I want to be where you want me to be. And it turned out it was Oklahoma City. And I, aside from prayer, didn't lift a finger. I didn't do any politicizing, any promoting. And I got a phone call and here we are, 53 years later. And that's where we're going to stick. If you're smart. If you're not, you'll run off somewhere else. But you won't hear these doctrines. So will Babylon, the great city, be thrown down with violence and will not be found any longer on page 32 of your notes. And we went all the way down, kind of a crazy summer with intense heat. And looks like we're going to have one more week of it. We'll see. I'm on page 33. I checked my notes here at point 45. The symbolic act reflects Jeremiah 51. As I told you before, if you haven't, or even if you have, why don't you read Jeremiah chapters 50 and 51? Think U.S. all the way through. That doesn't mean you're gonna latch onto every verse and statement. Even I have to. There's some details I have questions about. Fine. There's a symbolic act here with Jeremiah. And as soon as you finish reading the scroll, you will take a stone. You will tie a stone to it, throw it into the middle of the Euphrates, and say, just so Babylon will sink down and not rise again because of the calamity that I'm going to bring upon her, and they will become exhausted. Thus far are the words of Jeremiah. Who's being exhausted? The Americans that are here in the United States, once the nuclear attack begins, they're going to exhaust themselves trying to save the situation, but they will die trying. They will work feverishly. But you're not gonna put out those nuclear fires. Prophets portrayed symbolically from time to time the events over which they prophesied. And this was an example of throwing something into a river, never to be recovered. Prophets did these symbolic overt acts to symbolize an event. And I gave you some examples from Isaiah 20, Jeremiah 13, Ezekiel 4, and Acts 21:11. Without warning, point 47, and without recourse, America will likewise face sudden destruction and oblivion from a nation among the nations. We figured out that it's a nation from the north, and it's a nation that has thermonuclear arsenal that's in God's armory. All the armories that contain weapons on the earth, they're the Lord's. And everything. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, as an illustration. So, he's going to open his armory. The Russians won't do it a day before or a day after. It'll all be set up and they'll make their move. And God has greased their skids with regard to the development of the most advanced thermonuclear weapons, city busters, that they will launch en masse. You might ask the question, well, why don't we retaliate with ours? They will be neutralized. The technology will be neutralized somehow. As in, I have a book, an electromagnetic pulse that will shut down all communications of any kind and all military ability to operate. Nations and people can put their trust in these technologies, but God can overrule them. A flick of his finger, so to speak. And there will be no retaliation from the United States, from submarines, aircraft, or land-based missiles. We've got them. But all these, they will be... The military people in charge will be like their hands are tied. What is left is the ruins and the landmass. Otherwise, all human habitation is removed. The hapax, one time noun, translated violence, speaks to a sudden onslaught. 51. This onslaught will result in the complete annihilation of Babylon the great city from the community of nations. Nor will her disappearance be followed by a reemergence, as noted in the words, she will not, I expanded the translation, she will in no fashion be found any longer. The emphatic double negative, ume, followed by the adverb of negation, no longer, seals the permanence. This is a total vanishing, as when a large object sinks below the surface of the sea, never to be seen again. So begins the account of America's internal cessation in verses 21 through 23. Verses 19 through 20 describe America's demise from the standpoint of those outside the continental United States. Again, I entitled this from a song of yesteryear, "The Day the Music Stopped." Maybe you recall that song. You can look it up online. "The Day the Music Stopped." That's what I entitled this verse. And the sound of harpists, that stringed instruments like electric guitars or anything with strings. And the sound of harpists and musicians and flute players, any horn-blowing instrument, saxophone, trumpet, so forth. And trumpeters will not be heard in you any longer. None of this coming over the airwaves that we're all used to. You can pick out your genre. Mine tends to be jazz. Born and raised in America and spread to the nations. Jazz. Different types of jazz. And that's what I listen to in my living room from time to time. On that Pandora that I subscribe to. Mostly it's instrumental. There's some vocal stuff. I'm not into the other genres. Okay, we have, and Katharados, a harpist, and Musikos, general for any kind of musician, and flute player. All the time. Like Miles Davis. He's a believer, by the way. Messed up one, but he was a believer. His father was a Baptist preacher in East St. Louis. Aleton and trumpeter. Well, that'd probably be the best one for him. Salpistes. No longer, double negative, here, in you, any longer. So that covers the entertainment field with regard to music in America. Spread far and wide, from the early days all the way down to modern time, where you can access all this readily. Or you can go to places and listen to people play. And no craftsman of any craft will be found in you any longer. And no this word we get technology, technites, workman, artisan, architect, as in Hebrews 11:10. Any longer. The word craft is techne. It means skill, craft, skill, or trade. No longer found, heurisko, in you any longer. And the sound, phone, the sound of the mill, moulos, as in Matthew 24:41. That's factories. That's the noise from factories producing stuff. And the sound of the mill will no longer, double negative, be heard in you any longer. All right, we'll do this one and then we'll break and we'll pick up with the next one. Following the angel's explanation for casting the Statue of Liberty into the Atlantic, he proceeds to detail the cessation of the internal civilization of America. On that fateful day, the music will stop, as in the song American Pie, memorialized by Buddy Holly and company, who perished in a plane crash. The day the music died. We memorialize the death of that early rock and roll group of young men who died in that plane in Iowa. They never got off the ground very far, and they went right down in a field and they were dead. And somebody came along and made a song about it the day the music died. So I picked up on that and brought it into this. America is the musical capital of the world, as Tyre was in her day. Yeah, there's other nations that have a lot of music and a lot going on. But because of the size of the country and all the different musical genres that are out there, from classical to country and western to rock and roll to some that are really sick that we've had, acid rock, oh! And I'll hear a car going by with some dummy that's got this mess cranked up. Ooh. But anyway, we expect that. But harpists represent those who play stringed instruments. Musicians represent all categories of musical artists. Flute players represent wind instruments. And trumpeters, those who play the trumpet or some variation thereof. 5. The repeated double negative says these things will never be heard again in the continental United States. The sixfold use of ume, eddy, in 21 through 23 highlights the fact that human activity of all kinds will cease. And for all in what is the USA. All those who make their living in some trade or craft cease to exist as to human activity. That's one of the things we've really noted for in our history. The production. Look at our automobile plants in our history. Wow. Big deal, still is. Big deal. And all kinds of factories producing these products that we have benefited from. It'll all go dead silent. Nothing. In the day of wrath. The words in you are addressed to the totality of the civilization, making it even more pointed. The sound of the mill refers to the cessation of noise from industrial factory output. The grinding of millstones had a distinctive sound, but here is used prophetically of the noise generated by men and machines. This too will cease in 1 hour of one day. It'll be right on the calendar. It'll be a day. It'll be a.m. or p.m. Boom. Except for the noise of the explosions and stuff, when it's all settled down, it'll be eerie quiet. Let's take our break.